We will say to you, buenas noches. Señores and señoritas, we will say bonsoir. Monsieur and mademoiselle, and we will say buongiorno, paisans and paisanos. You, of course, realize that this is the opening to the WRTS-FM show, Worship and Real Talk Show for Men. I am your host, Minister Jonathan Simmons, and we are back here for a blog talk show. This is on, well, we won't tell you what time and date it is. Suffice it to say, we are happy to be back with you here, another opportunity to chat with you and just be transparent and open about some of the things that are going on with me. And if you want to go in the chat room, you can tell me about some of the things that are going on with you this evening. We will go ahead and date the show. We want to maybe leave this as an open show, but hey, let's keep it real. We are speaking to you here live from just outside Atlanta, Georgia. It is the weekend of Valentine's Day. And we are looking at a very cold and very snowy Georgia. The song used to be a rainy night in Georgia. Well, we'll have to change that to a snowy night in Georgia as about 4 inches drops down on the metro Atlanta area, especially here on the south side. And, of course, being a northern boy like I am, originally from Connecticut, it didn't bother me, but it did appear that the entire state went into a panic and began to shut down everything and anything that could and would be open, schools, churches, everything. And, of course, you know, we don't want to make fun because, you know, safety is an issue when you do not have the facilities or the equipment to remove snow or to properly de-ice the roadway. So we thank God that people, erred on the side of caution and went ahead and shut down schools and even churches because, again, there's no need for someone getting hurt or getting killed to go to the house of worship, especially since we know that God is searching for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, we know that the scripture does tell us before those Bible scholars jump on me with both feet, we know the scripture does tell us to not to forsake the assembling ourselves together as such, you know, some were wont to do, I guess, in that day. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a situation where it certainly could not hurt for the churches to be, you know, closed for safety purposes. Because to be very candid, in times past, especially in the early times of the church, they could not openly worship Jesus Christ because of the persecution from the Romans. And there are still some cities and states and countries to this day where people of God cannot worship freely. All of the things that we take for granted here in the United States and in many other Western countries, the freedom to be able to worship the Lord Jesus Christ is not there with others. So we just, you know, again, want to make sure that we, you know, don't step on anybody's toes, unless we have to. Well, if you looked at the title of the show tonight, you will see that it is basically, we're using Blog Talk for what it's intended to be. We're going to talk and blog. And really, I want to make a really honest assessment of what I personally am going through. I know that we are, as a minister, supposed to minister to you. And hopefully, by listening to this show may minister to you at some later point in time. But might as well just tell the truth. It used to be a saying, tell the truth and shame the devil. So we might as well just tell the truth. That even the preacher battles with times of uncertainty, doubt, and even failure. And so that is my quandary today. It's like that old thing we have, that old statement, we have found the enemy and he is us. Or people will tell you if you want to see where your enemy is, just in fact look at the mirror and you will find your enemy. And unfortunately, for many of us, that enemy is ourselves. But again, we thank God for what he is doing. We know that we've been having a little problem with the stream. I'm not quite sure what on earth is going on with the stream, but I guess this show is going to be more of an archive show than a live stream because I'm looking at the switchboard and it is saying, show is on, but not streaming. So if those of you who are in the chat room can confirm whether the show is on or not, please, I would thank you so much for that. Let me know if, in fact, the show is streaming. And like I say again, that is the advantage and sometimes disadvantage of being live. You never quite know what will happen. Right now, again, like I said, it looks like we may not be streaming live, but we thank God for those of you who will be listening to the show via archive. And you can check that out on our website. It's www.considerthewordministries.org, or you can also find us at www.wrtsfm.com. And dealing again with the candid fact of what do you do when the enemy is you? What do you do when you have failed God Almighty? What do you do when you, especially as a man, given insight, given wisdom, giving a task from God, even an assignment, what happens when you fail in that assignment? Is there room for a comeback? Are we able to go to God? Oftentimes, repeatedly seeking for help, looking for Him to again forgive us from our sins, from our sins committed and omitted. Let's take a look. We know that one of the most famous examples of this, we have two pretty big examples of men of God failing and then later being able to make a comeback. So even as I speak to you on this blog, my great hope, my great prayer is that God Almighty will look at me again after coming to Him for the umpteenth time, saying, Father, I goofed it up. We do hope and pray that He will have mercy upon me again and allow me to once again be of good use, be of good service, be a vessel that is worthy and meet for the Master's house. That's really my hope, that I will be able to make this comeback as previous men of God have made the comeback. Again, for those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to WRTS-FM, Worship and Real Talk Show for Men. I am your host, Minister Jonathan Simmons. And for those who might have been attempting to listen to this show online live when we first broadcast it, again, due to technical difficulties beyond our control, it says the show is on, but it is not streaming. So we'll probably go to an abbreviated, truncated version of the show. We will probably shut it down at the 15-minute mark, and then we will try to come on again and see if we can discuss again how we can be successful in the Lord, especially as a man, once you have failed and failed repeatedly. Let's take a look here in the scriptures and look at some men who unfortunately did not do what their original assignment was or were disappointed in terms of what goals they had set for themselves and then subsequently were not able to reach. This guy is pretty famous. It's Jonah. We all know about Jonah, and I'm not going to get into what happened to him when he failed the Lord. I'm just going to look here at how the book of Jonah opens up. And this is how I read it. It says, now the word of the Lord, starting with the first chapter of the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Well, I'm going to stop right there. A couple of big things jump out at us right here as we're looking at this text. One, first of all, opens up right the back. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. So the word now came to the man of God and gave him specific instructions. He said, arise, go ye to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Now, the thing that was interesting is that Nineveh, the people there were a great adversary to the people of Israel, the people of God. They were a huge adversary. They were very ruthless and warlike people and really have been a great enemy. And so now God said, I want you to go to your enemy. Oh, there's something right there. And to go, and not just go, you know, being nice, but I want you to go cry out. Call them out for what they are. You know, basically, tell them what time it is based on the instructions I've given you. And the man of God just basically said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he took off and actually thought that somehow he could flee from the presence of Almighty God. Now, you know, Lord have mercy. sometimes when we are acting out, when we are not being obedient, when we are not doing all we can do, we actually attempt to flee from the presence of Almighty God. And the interesting thing is that this happened with the very first man. So this is nothing new. Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis, the third chapter. And we see now, as we look at this scene, that Adam and Eve have done something that God told them not to do. He told them not to eat a particular fruit of the garden. This fruit was a very desirable, very good-looking fruit, but the Lord said, look, you can eat of anything else in the garden, but you leave this fruit alone. Don't touch it. Of course, man being who he is, woman being who she is, said, she got slipped what I like to call the okey-doke from Satan. He said, hey, he put a backward spin on the direct instructions that God gave to Adam. And Adam, unfortunately, not being the stand-up guy that he should have been, let his wife, oh, brothers, I don't even want to get into this right now because I'm not married, so I don't want to speak on this. But, again, the Lord gave him instructions. His wife told him something. Instead of him saying, hey, I don't care what it is, God said, leave us alone. He actually joined in, quit the party with his wife, and they both, unfortunately, committed this act of disobedience against God. And what happens? Here's how it reads. It says this, starting in the third chapter. Man, once again, has gone for the line, the okey-doke. Third chapter of Genesis, starting with the fifth verse. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, speaking of this fruit of this tree. Let me go back to verse 4. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Let me read this scripture in its entirety again so we can get a good understanding. I know that most of you already who are listening to this know this story very well, but let's read it again. The third chapter of Genesis, starting with the first verse. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Oh, there's the little slippery twist right there. Didn't he say you can eat anything you wanted? No. The woman rightfully answered and said in verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman, hate to hit that kind of hard, sisters, saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Then she also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Oh, fellas, this is where we mess up right there. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, keep in mind, before that, they knew nothing about being naked. They just romping around. Everything's free and easy, like, you know, big nudist colony. Nobody's tripping. Human body was just a human body. That's it. But here's what happened. They now realize, whoo, we ain't got no clothes on. So it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord, and then the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Here's verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Really? Do you really think that God didn't know where Adam and Eve were? David said, where can I go to hide from your presence? David said, I could go down into the depths of the sea. You are already there. He said, I could climb the highest heights. You're already there. He said, I could even go into the depths of hell. You are already there. Where can I go? So that's what I face myself with. God, now that I'm having these problems with Emmy, where can I go to run and hide and to try to duck the responsibility of being the man of God? Where can I go to try to make an excuse? There is none. But one place I can go unto Jesus because I know that he's an advocate. and he sits on your right hand, and that he will intercede on my behalf if I and you do not try to put a covering on that nasty little sin. Oh, you say, well, brother, I didn't do anything but just not really do what the Lord told me, or I didn't do it in a timely fashion. Oh, here's the thing that just hit me over the head. Even as I say it, I'm cringing, because technically it's a sin. Disobedience is sin. So again, I find myself asking the Lord, Lord, please, even as I speak this, hopefully it will be a blessing to someone else who hears it, to please forgive me for once again being slothful, once again not being businesslike, once again blowing an opportunity, an open door that you gave me, and not just running through it, but instead looking at it, trying to peer through it, trying to see where am I going, what's behind the door. But once you open the door, instead of me walking through and then running through, I stopped at the precipice and looked. And by the time I came to my senses, the door was already closed. And just like the maidens who did not trim their lamp in the parable that Jesus told, when they knocked on the door, the bridegroom said, you cannot come in. So God, I ask you, Lord, to please help me to avoid having any more of these moments where you open a door, where you provide an opportunity for me, where you have laid out a carpet. But because I had my own thoughts, my own doubts, my own fears, especially my fears, God, to ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would just remove these things from me. First of all, forgive me for all the times that I have not taken full advantage of the opportunities, of the blessings, of the favor that you bestowed upon my life, oh God, that I let them squander. Even as dust in the wind, oh God. Help me to remember that I am nothing but dust in the wind. But Father, help me also to understand, Father, that when I fall, Father, and we will fall from time to time, that you are there, Father, as I'm willing to come to you to pick me up, to dust me off, to even clean me up, even to set me back on firm setting. As the old saints used to sing in the Him, set my feet on higher ground. Place me on a rock to stay. That's a little old school for you, but it's very true. And Father, that's what I'm looking for, and I believe that's what people who may be listening to this broadcast are looking for right now. They're looking for redemption. Ah, man, what a powerful word that is, redemption. That means we have stumbled and fallen and that you have purchased us back. But the wonderful thing is that this redemption, what makes it so staggeringly different is, what makes it so stunningly gracious, what makes it so full with so much love, is the fact that you have in fact redeemed us back to yourself. And oh God, that's what we want. That's what we need right now, is we need redemption. We need to hear you once again tell us, show us that you love us in spite of all of our human failings, in spite of our foibles and our difficulties, oh God. That's what we want, Father. We want redemption, and redemption can only come from you, oh God Almighty. It can only come from you. We can't do it. We have tried. We have looked at other places. We have tried to go our own way, try to make things happen on our own, oh God, but only you, oh God, are our Redeemer. You are the one that can take us out of a dead place, oh Lord God, out of a valley of dry bones, oh God, and literally resurrect us, oh God, because that's what Jesus is for all believers. He is, in fact, the resurrection for us all, oh God. Cole Spomberg, Resurrection. I don't know about you, but in these times when I fail, these times where I fall short of God's instruction, of His glory, it feels like all is lost. It feels like the dream has died, especially when you know deep down that you had a golden opportunity where the Lord had just rolled it out, man, like a, like I said, man, like that fresh carpet. I know sometimes you go out. I'm speaking to the fellas for a second. You get out there, man, and you go to a football field or a baseball field, and they just roll out that sod, man. It's fresh, it's clean, it's green. And it just seemed that God put that opportunity in front of you. And for whatever reason, either through deceit or deception or laziness or slothfulness or just fear, you looked around, and suddenly the door that he had opened, an opportunity, was gone. And we find ourselves even like Esau, who sadly for a meal gave up his birthright. And the Bible said, though he sought it with much tears, he had lost out on the blessing of God to his brother Jacob. Maybe someone listening right now has felt like I felt in the past and even felt today that with all my doing, I'm yet undone. For all my struggle, I have oodles of victories that I haven't even won. And I wondered to myself, is there any hope for me? Can I be resurrected from failure, from doubt, and from fear? That could be your question tonight. And even as I do this blog, expressing my own doubts, my own fears, my own frustration in how I have conducted myself, I yet see that there is hope. That in spite of all I am, in spite of all you or I have done, God is yet faithful. He's yet faithful to us. He yet is constantly reaching for us, asking us to come back to Him, asking us to lay all of our fears, all of our doubts, all of our sadness at His feet, at the feet of Jesus. And that as a great loving Father, He is willing to take us up. He is willing to show us what He showed Jeremiah in his difficult day. Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations, which is a book of sorrows, but in the midst of his sorrows, this is what he said in Lamentations, the third chapter, starting with verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, said my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations, the third chapter, verses 21 through 25. I don't know about you, but that's a little bit of encouragement for me, even again as I ponder my own fate, as I find myself once again looking down the gauntlet, looking down a highway of a turn missed in a milestone in my life. And once again, saying to myself, how can I recover from these continual missteps and errors and wayward steps? But thanks be unto God. Like the story of the prodigal son, if we are just willing, if we are just willing to find the way back to Him, to allow Him to, as the song said, resurrect us. At the end of the day, we will find that God is waiting with open arms and that our lives will not be in vain. And that we can say at the end of the day that our God is great and greatly to be praised, and that His mercy endure forever. And as a man, we'll be able to say that our life was not spent just going through the motions.
Despite her, it's not safe. Let her know that I've got to make a change. I don't care if I break. At least I'll be seen on something. You're just okay, not enough. Help me fight through the nothing that's of life. I don't wanna go through the motions. I don't wanna go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't wanna spend my whole life asking, what if I were given everything instead of going through the motions?
And as a man, that's my prayer, that's my plea, that, oh God, that my life, as I move into the latter stages, the latter chapters of my life, that I'm not just going through the motions, I'm not just, as this song says, going through the nothingness of this life. I want it to be more. I want it to be a situation where my life has an impact for Jesus Christ. Is that your prayer? Is that your desire? Well, we know where to go. Ask God, seek the guidance of His Holy Spirit, and rest on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that, His salvation is the same as it was. He's able to save and yet deliver. When we say, our time is gone. So as we always do, God bless you and good night.